Good morning. For some of you that are kind of new here, my name's Joe. I teach 7th and 8th grade history here in Mount Gilead, so if you need somebody to pray for, teachers are a good one, all right? Several years ago, Art was sick, and Angela preached that day, and something told me to tell Angela, hey, if Art's ever sick, I could stand in for him. Didn't know what I was getting into, but here we are, right? Here we are. Art called me a couple years ago when his dad had a stroke the night before and said, I know it's late, you don't have much time, but you have something you can get ready for tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, I usually need more time, but I'll do something. And this morning about 8 o'clock, I get a text, hey, we're sick, can you do something? It's like, I need more time, not less time, to get this stuff ready. It's funny, I think God's teaching me a lesson today, because Monday or Tuesday this week, I was thinking, you know, Art and Angela's probably going to be going on vacation probably in June. It's getting closer than you think. I should really get something ready just in case. And I went, nah, I got other things to do. I have plenty of time. Yeah, I had about an hour and a half. So we're going to do the best we can with what we have. And one of the things I usually talk about history, because that's what I teach. But I'm sitting there, I said, the first thing I thought was, when I got the text today was, oh, crap. What am I going to do now, right? What am I going to do now? What can I talk about in history that, like, I couldn't think of anything, And I just kept getting this feeling, you don't have to talk about history. You work with kids every day. Talk about our kids. And so this is called the attack of our children. I think the biggest thing that we can do as Christians, the biggest weapon we have, is to pray for others. And I think God really likes when you pray for others more than yourself, because I think that's showing the true love that you have for each other, is when you pray for other people. When we pray for Art and Angela, that's out of love. And so a couple things I've talked about, you know, I've talked about politicians and that stuff. I'm hoping you're praying for our politicians. But if you're looking for somebody else to pray for, our kids in our community need that. Our kids need prayer, because, you know, Satan, he knows where to attack us, doesn't he? You know, so I've coached baseball, softball, football for 28 years, and when somebody comes up and attacks me because I was coaching what they thought was wrong, that's one thing. You know, I can take that. You know, I'm old enough to say, doesn't matter, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But when somebody attacks your kids, that hurts more, doesn't it? Our kids in this country, in our community, in our schools today, are under attack. And the biggest thing that we can do as Christians is to fight for them through prayer. In Ephesians, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Proverbs, start your children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I love to see our kids in church. I love to hear the sounds. You know, I can remember when we were raising kids and our kids would fuss and cry and stuff, and we were like, oh, it's so embarrassing. You know, today, I love to hear it, because that's the church growing. That's the church coming up. And so I get a kick out of that, especially since they're not mine. But Satan is attacking our kids. And he knows how to get to those kids, and we need to fight back through prayer. I want to look at a few ways that Satan, I think, is attacking our kids today. Drugs and alcohol are a big problem in our schools. In a recent survey nationwide, 40% of high school seniors have admitted to using drugs at least once in their life. 40%. I can think off the top of my head right now of at least 3 young men that I taught who are no longer with us because of heroin. When you go to funerals of students you have, that's a tough thing to do. That's a tough thing to try to talk to that mom, that dad who've lost that kid. That's probably been my hardest thing I've ever done. 59% of kids these same high school seniors have admitted to using alcohol in the last year. We know the effects of drugs and alcohol. The thing I love about this church is we've prayed about that. We pray about that, and we see drugs being taken off the street right here in our town, right here in our county, and we need to continue to pray with that. Advertisers. I look at some of the advertising I see on TV and commercials and the internet, and I just have to shake my head. How do they get away with some of this stuff? Right? What message are they sending our kids? Everybody knows Ronald, right? Those of you that are a little bit older, like me, we used to go to McDonald's because it had a clown, right? And it drew the kids there. And then you got a little toy you could play with that you throw away 2 days later. Do you see Ronald McDonald around much anymore? No. Clowns are now scary, right, because of some of the movies that come out. And so that doesn't affect the kids as much. But this is one example of conditioning that we've had on our kids. Look at this picture. What's this company sell? Anybody know? Clothes! Would you believe this company sells clothing? You don't see it in the picture. What kind of message does that send to our kids? A few years ago, it's been several years now, I'd hate to even guess, probably been 15, 16 years ago, we were on a trip to Washington, D.C. with our 7th and 8th graders, and one of the places we go is the Pentagon Mall, because it has a big food court, and the kids can go pick out whatever the food they want, and they usually have about an hour they can eat. If they want to go shop, they can go shop, whatever. And I'm walking around the mall, and I see our principal, and he's just standing there. I said, Mr. Selvey, what are you doing? You know, you're just standing here all by yourself. Have you eaten yet? He says, no, I haven't had time to eat. I said, why not? He says, I'm guarding Victoria's Secrets. He says, all our middle school boys keep going in there, and they're getting in trouble. And so I said, I'll stand in front of Victoria's Secrets. It may not be what Victoria's Secrets wants, but I'll stand in Victoria's Secrets and keep all our kids out so you can go eat. You know, we'd look at the mall, look at advertisements, stuff like this. You know, it's no wonder our kids are obsessed with sex and stuff like that. Go ahead, Jason. Red Bull. I'm just telling you, as an experience of a middle school teacher, the last thing a kid needs is a jolt of caffeine before they come to my class, right? Sit down, shut up, be quiet. It says up here, it says, write essays faster. I just want to say, write an essay. All right, just write it. You don't need to do it faster. There was a push there for a while. They wanted to put Red Bull machines in schools. They were going to pay schools to put Red Bull machines in schools. You wonder why during the Obama administration they had a big crackdown on different types of foods and vending machines and stuff like that in schools. That was because of Red Bull. They were trying to push Red Bull into all the schools as a machine, a vending machine. Go to the next one, Jason. If you've been in middle school for any length of time, you know all the fragrances from Axe. Oh, I'm telling you. I tell kids all the time in the football locker room, don't spray Axe on yourself. Take a shower. It will work better. It'll work much better. But if you look on some of the Acts, here's some of the messages it says. It's kind of cut off up there. It says, even angels will fall for the unique, sensual, and addictive fragrance. Acts, the cleaner you are, the dirtier you will get. And I'm telling you, I've smelled Acts all the time in the locker room. And I see it all the time in the hallways. It says, unlimited female attention. This is the message we're sending to our kids. And I always tell the kids, if you read that, look, you've been spraying Axe for how long and you're still single? It's not working. It's not working. Use something else. Use something else, anything. Go ahead, Jason. One of the biggest changes I've seen in my teaching career is the use of cell phones. Cell phones are so prevalent now. And they're a great tool, don't get me wrong. You know, I got one in my pocket. I use it all the time, probably too much. All right? But you can find everything you want on a cell phone. You know, you can order your groceries on a cell phone. You can connect with friends. You can get food from a restaurant using your cell phone. Look up all kinds of weird trivia things. It is a useful tool, but in the wrong hands, it's a problem. And some of our kids at school are addicted to their cell phones. I do not want to be the phone police. I try not to. You know, we have teachers I know at the high school, if you have a phone in your pocket, I'll get it out, I'm taking it. I'm not going to look for your phone, but if you're on it, it's a problem, you're distracted. It's amazing, there's more software, there's more engineering in your cell phone than what NASA had to land men on the moon. It's how far we've gone. When NASA was landing men on the moon, there was African women, an African woman, I can't remember her name right now, she did most of the calculations for him. She never got too much credit for that. Today, it's all computerized. And of themselves, they're not bad, all right? But if you have a kid, a grandkid that has a phone, you need to be knowing some of the things to look at, because some of the things on the phones are scary. Very scary. This next one, some of the apps that kids are using. This one is Tinder. Tinder is used by, it was started by a college, some college guys who wanted to meet girls. Imagine that. And Tinder is an app where you can look up people and try to find hookups. Again, we were in D.C. just a few years ago, about 4 years ago, and we had a mom that contacted us right before we left and said that her daughter was on Tinder and is supposed to meet a guy in Washington, D.C. The guy was from Virginia and was going to use the phone, the Tinder app, because it tracks your location GPS-wise. He could walk right up behind her, just track. As long as her app was open and his app was open, they could find each other. How scary is that? So the whole trip, we were just like following this girl around. She probably thought we were a bunch of creeps. But we were trying to keep her safe because we didn't know who this person was. Go ahead, Jason. Snapchat, number one app used for sexting by teens. They think if I take a picture and I send it with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, that picture will disappear and you'll never see it again. Yeah, they screenshot it so fast and spread it around. We've had kids at school get in trouble for that. Middle school kids for sending pictures to each other through Snapchat. The biggest problem we see at school is a lot of this stuff happens at home, and then mom and dad want us to deal with it at school. What can we do? You know, what can we do? My advice would do the same thing. I had a colleague whose daughter was on her phone, and I don't think her daughter was doing anything wrong, but her daughter got a picture that mom saw and didn't like, so she chucked the phone into the cornfield. Kind of took care of that problem, all right? Go ahead, Jason. Blender is another one. Blender, if you see this one on a kid's or grandkid's phone, get rid of it. It is nothing but junk. It is trash. You can meet people near you. You open your phone and you go to Blender, and anybody who has app of Blender, they'll tell you how far away and what direction they are. You don't know who they are. Imagine that in the hands of a sexual predator. Imagine that in the hands of some pervert who is out trying to find kids. That one, I'm just telling you, if you know of anybody that has that one, they need to get rid of that one in a hurry. Kick is very much the same thing. Kick looks like this. The worst thing about Kick, there's no parental controls whatsoever. You can't set, you know, any limitations for the kids whatsoever. Your Kick buddy, as they're called, can be anybody. Can be a total stranger, could be anybody, and you won't know who they are, but they can find you, or you could find them if you really wanted to. All these apps are free for people to download. In of themselves, they're not bad, but the way people are using them are scary. Go ahead, Jason. Yik Yak, again, Yik Yak is an app you open up. You can type up to 200 characters. I think it now has pictures. I can't remember. But you can send it out, and anybody within so many yards of you that has the same app can see what you're doing. It's not like Facebook where you have a friend list and only your friends can see it. It's anybody in the area who has that. So if you're like at a concert or a mall or something like that, you can type it, and everybody that's at that thing that has their app open can see what you're saying. All right? I have to wonder why people come up with this stuff. I think most of these people that come up with this stuff are thinking of it in a good way, but we know Satan attacks through these ways. How many of you are familiar with what a vault is on a phone? A vault. A vault is a little bit different than an app. It's an app that will hide other apps. You ever see the picture of a calculator on your phone? You think it's just calculator, right? A vault is, in this one, it's called Poof. That's the name of the vault. It looks like this calculator, except you set your own code, and whenever you punch in that code, that certain number, it will open up all the hidden apps and pictures that you have behind it that your parents can't see. All right? So that one's tough, because as soon as a kid downloads it, he or she can put in their own code. Unless you know the code, you'll never open it up. And if you can't open it up, you don't know what's in there. Yeah. Video games, I'm not much into video games, never have been, but here's some of the big games. We did a survey several years ago at Mount Gilead, K through 12, about technology, and these are the main games that were being played at that time. This has been, Jesse, do you remember? You probably took that survey. You probably don't remember taking the survey. Jesse, I was at school. They did this survey of all these kids in Mount Gilead, and they came back with these. These are the top games that were being played. Grand Theft Auto, where you try to steal cars, and in the game you also interact with prostitutes. We had kids as young as kindergarten playing Grand Theft Auto. Scarface, Hitman, Dead Island, Mortal Kombat, these are all very, very violent action packed games. And our kids are playing them, and we wonder why when they get in the classroom, they get in other settings, they're hyped up, they're hard to get their attention, it's hard to teach them history when they are wanting to just go out and play a game where they shoot up stuff. All right? We did this survey and found that as kids as young as third grade was watching porn regularly. This isn't New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles. This is Mount Gilead. K through 12 survey. Click the next thing. Think about it. Kids who still believe in Santa Claus are watching porn. How scary is that? Again, you need somebody to pray for. Our kids need to be prayed for. Satan's attacking them in many different ways. A lot of kids are going on right now into YouTube and making their own YouTube channels. Anybody can see them. Anything can be, any comments, some of the comments that are made at the bottom of those channels are just awful. Awful. But you know, you think a lot of times, man, this happening other places, big cities. You know, it's right here in our hometown. I can't imagine. You ever see these signs up on the road? I know a guy who lives in Columbus. Anytime he sees them, he tears them down. This is the number one way that sexual predators have of abducting young women and young boys into sexual exploitation. The number one place in the country every year for arrest for sexual exploitation is whatever city hosts the Super Bowl. So this last time it was in Miami. You know where the second one is every year? Columbus, Ohio. during the Arnold Schwarzenegger Fest. Number one, you know where number two is every year? Toledo, Ohio. Number three, Youngstown, Ohio. Number four, Dayton, Ohio. It's right here in our backyard. You don't think that's happening here? You know it's happening here. The things that our kids go through, the things that our kids see and experience before they ever get to sixth, seventh, eighth grade, where I'm at, I couldn't imagine at that age. Go ahead, Jason. Some things, if you are teaching someone the things they need to do. If you're a young parent, you have young kids, the average kid will get a cell phone at age 10. I'm glad I didn't get raised with a cell phone. My mom didn't need to know where I was at all the time. She would have been tracking me constantly. We would have never had fun. But some things to do. Number one, when kids are making stuff out, don't let them use their real names. Don't let them tell where they're at. Don't let them know that they go to Mount Gilead Middle School. Don't let them know that they go to Cardington. Don't say things on there about where they live. You got to teach kids young at this. You don't give out information about where you live, where you go to school, anything like that. We had a program. We're trying to figure out how to place it again at Mount Gilead, because we had a program for a year that if I'm on my computer at school, I can see the screens of everybody in my classroom. And so all I have to do is click on a kid's name, and it shows me exactly what they're doing. And sometimes I like to go down and stand out the door of the study hall and really see what they're doing, because in my classroom it's easier to see. And so I'd see them on stuff, and I'd click them off. And one of the things it would do is click it off. It turned their screen black, and it would say, "Eyes on me." And the kids start looking around. What's going on? They didn't know what was happening. And we didn't tell them. They thought people were spying on them, so all of a sudden they're covering all their cameras up with tape and paper. Awesome. Awesome. So we didn't tell them, we just let it happen. That program, the company owns that program, went belly up, so we don't have it anymore. So we're looking for something similar to that so that we can use it again. Log in as your kid from time to time. See what they're looking at. See their list of friends. See who they're interacting with. Things like Facebook, if you're looking on Facebook and you're seeing a bunch of people that you don't know, or they're not from around, or a friend of a friend, you make sure they get rid of them. They don't need to be friends with them. Make some rules. No phone before an hour before bed. Studies have shown when kids are using the phone, computers, video games, it takes them about an hour for them to mentally come down to the point where they can sleep. I see kids all the time in my first period class especially. I have one young man who, he can barely hold his eyes open half the time. He's up playing video games all night. You know? Get your butt to bed. Don't what we call no gonna be post. A gonna be post says, I'm gonna be here at a certain time, or I'm gonna be there, or I'm gonna be here or there. Don't allow kids to do that. You don't want people to know where they're gonna be, because you don't know who all those people are. Check phones, check phones, check phones, check phones, check phones. If you are a parent who give your kid a phone, you've just created a part-time job for yourself. And if you don't abide and do what you need to on that part-time job, your kid can get in trouble, and even at no fault of their own. Many kids don't understand what they're looking at or who they're talking to. I'm guilty of this as well. I try not to, but when you go on vacations and stuff like that, even as adults, don't post what you're looking at and where you're at, because that just tells everybody else you're not home. That's right? So it's easy for them to come in and say, ooh, you know, Harold's not home. I can go rob his place while he's out at the beach, right? We don't want, you know, especially with kids, we don't want them to post where they're at, where they're going to be, simply because we don't know who's going to be there as well. One of the things that kids can never understand is when they get in trouble at school for having stuff that they're not supposed to have, cell phone, a vape pipe, things like that. They'll say, oh, somebody told me to hold it. We have a young girl who's now on probation because she was at the football game and her brother had gave her, who's also in high school, gave her a vape pipe to hold so he didn't get in trouble. Well, she did. And now she's on probation. I think she's a nice, sweet kid. She should never held something she shouldn't have had for her brother. It happens more often than you think. Kids don't understand that. It's not mine. Well, it's in your possession. It's yours. Right? We've had kids that have gotten in trouble for the sexting, for bullying online. That's the big thing. Bullying online, kids come in, parents come in all upset. So-and-so's kid's bullying my kid. Well, where are they doing this? On Facebook or Instagram or whatever it happens to be. What am I supposed to do? I can't do it. I can't deal with it. You have to deal with it. In Matthew, and I was asking Phil earlier today because I knew this, but I couldn't figure out where it was at. Yeah, it's in three different places eventually in the Bible. It says Jesus is talking to the disciples and about the children. And he says, whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the depth of the sea. Jesus has some really harsh plans for those people that are exploiting our kids. But our kids are under attack. I've seen some of these kids who they say, I've had a kid this year. I said, you know, why aren't you doing your work? Why aren't you getting anything done? Mr. Rule, I only come to school for two reasons. It's warm and I get fed twice a day. Now, when this kid is absent on a Friday especially or a Monday, I really worry about him because I know probably all weekend he hasn't eaten. And he'd go 3 days without any food, you know. So I try to keep a few things for him in my desk in case I do see him. Sometimes I just throw him a snack to take home with him on the way because I know he doesn't get anything else. This is the same kid whose dad's in prison for drug abuse. Mom just got out of prison. He's living with his aunt, and he's part-time. He's living with his mom part-time. When he lives with his aunt, he comes to school regularly. When he lives with mom, it's hit and miss. All right? So it breaks my heart that some of the things these kids are going through, and we don't. Sometimes I think we don't want to look at it, to see it, that it's happening right here in our community. And they need our prayers. They need our help. I love Operation Christmas Child because we're sending the message of Jesus to kids. Yes. To kids. People ask me sometimes, what do you teach? And I like to be a smart aleck and say, I teach kids. I don't tell them I teach history or whatever. I teach kids. But that's the reason I got into the business, because I like kids. But boy, are they have a lot to go through right now. The kids that are being raised by the right way, a lot of them that are in the church, the ones that are trying to do well, they're under attack by those other kids a lot. They're being tempted. They're being told that it's going to church is boring. I've heard that out of kids. We talk a lot about Christianity in school, in my class, because I teach medieval history. So you talk a lot about Christianity. I hear a lot of kids say that, oh, that's just boring. It's just going to church is boring. It's stupid. I have a group of about three girls who we had to have a long, serious talk because they were calling themselves Satan's sisters. Seventh grade. And they were making all kinds of inappropriate jokes. So I always promise one thing when I preach, you get out early. I like to be short, sweet, to the point. If you set your crock pot to get home at 1 o'clock today for your meal to be done, you're going to have to wait a little while before it's finished. I didn't have a lot of time to put this together. There's some other things we could go into that I might save for another time with some of the stuff on the phone. But a phone's, I would say in school, that's our biggest issues right now. Our phones, just so much bullying. It's easy to bully somebody when you're not there face to face. You know, it's harder to bully somebody face to face because you might get a bloody nose out of it. But they take it to a whole another level in middle school. big level. So I guess we'll wrap it up. If you'd stand with me, we're going to pray. We're going to get out of here. Father, we come to you today knowing that you love the children. Jesus gave the example that he didn't want the disciples to keep the children away from him. The disciples thought that the children were not worthy enough to be with Jesus, and Jesus wanted to be with the children. He wanted to bless them, and we ask you now to bless our children, not just across the country, but right here in our town. They're precious in your sight. We love our children, and they need your help. Satan is attacking them in all different ways, from drugs, alcohol, sex, social media. He's after them, and we know that through you, our kids can be saved. We ask that you come into our community and wipe the drugs away, that we ask that you bring about something that will get the sheriff department, the police department, to pull over those cars and get rid of the drugs. We pray that our children will be smart about social media, that we can educate them on the dangers, and we ask that their parents be vigilant in checking their kids so that their kids aren't tempted by some of the craziness that goes on there. Jesus, we love you, and we just want to thank our son. Ask you to send your blessing to our kids. Again, be with Art and Angela this week. Let them heal. And anyone else who is sick, Sherry and all the others who are sick, please give them a blessing of health and treat them with your love. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.